Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Welcome to another episode of Heart of the Psalmist. This is the show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. I am your host, Sharvis Whitted, and as always, I appreciate you. I really do appreciate you stopping by and lending me your ear for a few minutes so I can share with you things that over the 30 years of time I spent working in creative arts ministry, I've just come to believe are vital to success in building God's kingdom and allowing the glory of God to shine through our creative endeavors. So I thank you again for stopping by. Now, those of you who have checked out my bio at the website, backtoworship.com, you know that I am a Full Sail University alumni. I did a short associate's program there, and one of the first courses I took was called Digital Literacy. And very important course because these days, the digital platform is where most things take place. There isn't much that we do today that doesn't involve some type of digital platform, the internet, social media, emailing. And there's so much we do on those platforms, right? We communicate with one another. Politics take place on those platforms. We create and share music and listen to music on digital platforms. The news, marketing, advertising, business, money. There isn't much that doesn't take place on a digital platform. And that even includes ministry. Yeah, ministry. A lot of ministry efforts today involve digital platforms. And it has to, because if you're going to be a wise fisher of men, you have to know where the fish are. And most fish these days are on the internet. So we have to cast the net of the gospel, the net of the kingdom there in our creativity. Now, I came across a very interesting book not long ago by Dr. Josiah Way. It's entitled Producing Worship, Theology of Church Technical Arts. Very unique book. Haven't found many books in this space that talk about the things that he covers. It's more on the academic side of things, but it's readable. I want to share with you a quote from the book that Dr. Way says that's really central to the topic today. And it's talking about church technical arts. Listen to what he says. Church technical arts, also known as church production, extends beyond traditional worship band or choral-led congregational singing to include the latest in specialized contemporary production methods. Examples include multimedia productions, amplified sound, digital audio workstations, also known as DAWs, LED concert lighting, large screen image magnification, digital effects and enhancement, live and on-demand video streaming, theatrical set design, assimilation of social media, professional graphic design, stage hands, and production staff. Wow. This really shouldn't surprise us, right? Or alarm us, because it's not a new phenomenon to see technical arts and technology playing such a large role in ministry. God's people throughout history have always utilized the tools available to them to communicate the message of the gospel. Dr. Josiah Way says it this way: the product of a skilled technical artist can present the biblical narrative in the same imaginative and meaningful way as other great works of art utilized by the church throughout history. And he provides a few examples. God's story has been conveyed by converting standard window into stained glass. Michelangelo used paintbrushes to tell the story of the creation of Adam upon the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Sculptures have conveyed the biblical narrative in statues of stone. When C.W. Rice and E.W. Kellogg patented the first loudspeaker in 1925, technology entered the realm of everyday public speaking and, in turn, the pulpit and the pew. One example I think of is the Bible itself. The inspired writers used the literary tools common in their culture to convey the message God had given them. So, again, this isn't new. we've always utilized the mediums of communication available in our culture to communicate God's truth. Now, of course, some would argue that high production is ruining corporate worship. And honestly, I get why, because we all have seen some crazy stuff. I mean, just go on YouTube. One example I think of is seeing worship leaders doing what's called crowd surfing, where they jump off the stage into the congregation. Obviously, that's taking it too far. But I don't think high production is the core problem. I believe the issue is that we often allow high production in worship to overtake the purpose of worship. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today. Purpose-driven production. Making sure that we don't allow the purpose of corporate worship or any ministry-focused activity involving our creative abilities to take the back seat to high production. So let's dive into that topic a little further. Now, I'm going to use the construction of the tabernacle found in Exodus chapters 25 to 40 as a basis for today's podcast show. We'll focus primarily on chapter 25, verse 1 to 29. So here's the context, the backstory. Israel has left Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea and been delivered from bondage. In chapter 18, they reach Mount Sinai and they enter into covenant with God. That's chapters 18 to 25, the covenant ceremony. Then we get to chapter 25, and God instructs Moses to build a sanctuary that we all know as the tabernacle. I want to read to you Exodus 25, verses 1 to 9. You may want to pull your Bible out, but just follow me for a second. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. This is the contribution which you are to raise from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skin, dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breastpiece. Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it." So as you can see, the tabernacle was a production, and it was high production. It involved money, materials, skilled and creative workers. There was planning involved, the typical things that any production involved. Yeah, it was a production. So let me just pause here before we go on and just say that I think, based on the scripture here, that we can safely put to bed any notion that high production in itself is bad. Because the tabernacle, something that God instructed his people to build, was high production. That's one point I want to drive in with today's podcast show, is that high production in itself is not evil. It's not bad. The problem is when we allow high production to overtake and overshadow the purpose God gave us in producing things, to let the light of Jesus Christ shine to show people who he is. And I think there are some principles that we can extract from the tabernacle production that can help us be purpose-centered in our various technical and creative production efforts today. All right, lesson one. God's intended purpose is the starting point. God's intended purpose is always the starting point. Take a look at Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. "Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them." From the jump with the construction of the tabernacle, God established a purpose for all this high production. He wanted to dwell among his covenant people. The significance of the tabernacle is that it was the physical location of God's presence. It was the Garden of Eden all over again. God never abandoned his desire for humans to dwell in his presence. That's why the Bible ends in Revelation with a new global Eden. And that's an entirely different conversation. But the point here is that purpose was the starting point, and not man's purpose, but God's purpose. that has to be the starting point for our production. Not how great the production can be, but why God has given us these creative gifts in the first place. Purpose is like a GPS. It keeps us from drifting aimlessly in the oceans of endless creative production. It helps us keep our goal in mind, help us keep the target that we're aiming for in view. What God wants is very simple. He wants relationship. One of my favorite scholars, Dr. Michael Heiser, in a book he released not long ago entitled, What Does God Want? He articulates this point this way. I love it. Check this out. Although we can't completely comprehend, the bottom line is that we're here because God wanted us here. God doesn't act randomly. He acts with purpose. When he created humankind, he wasn't trying to fill some deficiency in himself. Given the fact that he didn't need us but still made us, there's only one rational explanation for why he created us. God wanted us to exist in order to enjoy us and to have us enjoy him in return. It's why the Bible speaks often of God reconciling us to himself through Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 19, now all these things are from God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Also in Colossians 1, 19 to 20, for it was God's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, were the things on earth or in heaven. So salvation at its core is about relationship with God. We must always keep that in mind and at the heart of all of our creative production efforts. The question we have to ask ourselves always is, are we fostering an encouraging relationship with God? Or are we producing and being creative just for the sake of producing and being creative? Remember, God's intended purpose must always be and remain the starting point for our production efforts. All right, so let's move on to lesson two, a willing heart. Let's go back to Exodus and look at verse 2 in chapter 25. Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him. You shall raise my contribution. The offerings for the tabernacle was to come from those whose heart was moved. God did not prescribe to them what or how much they had to give. It wasn't imposed as a tax or something like that. The offering was to be given willingly and with the heart. Why? Again, we're going back to relationship. That's what God wanted, a true relationship. And when you have a true relationship, it is not forced. There is an invitation to intimacy. God had delivered the nation of Israel and brought them to himself at Mount Sinai. His intentions were very clear. He wanted to dwell among the people in covenant relationship, but it was on them to respond to that invitation. I love how one commentary I came across put it. Having declared allegiance to God as their sovereign, they were expected to contribute to his state as other subjects to their kings. And the offering required of them was not to be imposed as a tax, but to come from their own loyal and liberal feelings. I actually got that from the commentary Critical and Explanatory on the Whole Bible. Great commentary. God wants real intimacy. He searches for hearts perfect toward him. People who serve him because they want to. David was such a man, right? He was a man after God's heart. And Paul tells us what that meant in Acts 13:22. It reads, after he had removed him, him refers to Saul, David's predecessor, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he being God, also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. It's a difference between taking care of your spouse or your child because it's your duty or because you love them. One is a response to obligation, the other loving willingness. This is what the New Testament means when it talks about being a cheerful giver, for example. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each one must do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." It's one thing to give an offering because the Bible said so, or because the pastor asked, or because you want God to bless you in some tangible way. It's entirely different, however, to give because you are madly in love with God, and thus you're more than happy to do anything that advances the kingdom. I love the way another scholar I love puts it, Dr. John Lennox, in a book he recently released that I really would recommend, Does Science Explain Everything? He says, "We are accepted the moment we repent and trust Him. Therefore, we wish to live to please Him, not in order to gain acceptance, because we already have it. To do otherwise shows that we have never understood what salvation really means." God wants you to create and produce for Him because you love Him. Fear, religious compulsion, popularity, or material gain are improper motivators for high production. God wants you to produce well for Him because you love Him. And that's a question you have to ask yourself. What is motivating you? Do you want something from God? Or are you giving all that you can in your production? Are you pursuing excellence because you love God and you're responding to His call to service out of relationship? So let's move on now to lesson 3, the final thing I believe we can extract from Exodus 25 that will help us have a purpose-driven production. And it is this: creative intentionality. Creative intentionality. The last thing that we have to do is be very intentional about expressing God's truth, biblical truth, through our creativity. We got to always remember that we aren't just expressing our creativity. I have made that mistake so many times, and I see it happen often where musicians and worship leaders allow their creative ambition and their desire to share this creativity that is so personal to them to overshadow the biblical truth they're called to convey. Now, creativity is fine, but that's not the primary goal, to just be creative. We want people to know God's truth. We want people to come to Christ. The tabernacle is an excellent example of this. Take a close look at the materials that are mentioned in verses 3 to 7 in Exodus 25. So in verse 3, you have the metals that were to be used. In verse 4, you have all the fabrics. In verse 5, the skins and the wood. And that was followed by lamp oil, fragrant anointing oil ingredients, and the incense ingredients. And that's verse 6. And then finally, you have the gemstones to be used on the high priest's special breastplate. And that's in verse 7. Now, all these materials in some way pointed to God's purpose for building the tabernacle, to dwell among His people. So take a look, for example, at the use of blue mentioned in verse 4. Here's what the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery, written by Leland Ryken, James C. Wilhoit, and Tremper Longman III says about the use of blue in an ancient Near Eastern context. It says, "In ancient thought, the sky was believed to separate the place of the gods from the human realm. Therefore, blue, the color of the sky, could appropriately suggest the boundary between God and His people and symbolize His majesty." So you see here something very purposeful about the use of the color blue. As I mentioned earlier, the purpose of the tabernacle was God wanting to dwell among His people. And when they saw the color blue, it reinforced the notion that they were in the presence of a divine, majestic God who was their king. Very purposeful production. The color blue was not used just for the sake of being creative, but there was a very real purpose attached to that color. God wanted His people to never forget that He was dwelling among them and that He was a divine, holy God. So whatever your creative endeavors are, you need to make sure that you are very intentional about the creative things that you implement into your worship. the songs that you use, the type of dance, the type of graphics, everything you do. Don't be creative just for the sake of being creative. Make sure that all of your creative production somehow ties directly into God's purpose in a way that your audience can clearly understand. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's all for today's show. Again, we're talking about being purpose-driven in our production efforts. And there are three things that we have to remember. Number one, God's intended purpose is the starting point. Number two, we must have a willing heart. And lastly, we have to have creative intentionality. Thank you again for stopping by. Please help us out by going to iTunes and rating the show. Give us a nice 5-star rating and also review the show. That will help us move up so that more people can see this podcast show and be blessed and encouraged, as I do hope you are. Again, thank you for spending time with Heart of the Psalmist today. And until next time, keep your heart towards God, and we will talk to you soon. Take care.